You know, he says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is not the sanctioning of sin. The fruit of the Spirit isn't, I'm allowed to sin, or self-will. That is not a fruit of the Spirit. And when he says in Romans 6:12, after he's said to us, declared, that we are to reckon, to count on, to be assured that we are dead indeed to sin because Christ died for us, the one for all. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. That is his instruction to us, which means we have something to do with it, which means our will is involved. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. So if we give Holy Spirit free reign over our mortal bodies, over our lives, he will reign rather than sin. It's not a willpower issue. It's like, oh, it's so hard to let go of. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, I got this terrible habit. No. I go, Holy Spirit, you have free reign in this area because I can't handle it. And I'm dead to sin. But I feel alive to it. And I don't know how to deal with it. But I will not let sin reign, have free reign in my mortal body, but I will let you. You'll be the one. Because the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. That one seems to be just glossed over. Most of the time people forget that's such a thing. Self-control gives us freedom. It's not the controlling of the law that was around our neck saying, you're never going to make it, you're never going to make it. You'll never live up to this. It's saying, you don't have to live up to it anymore because you were set free. You were made dead to this. You were delivered from the law. You don't have to live up to anything that has to do with the law. Now you let me have free reign in you. And there's your freedom. You can walk in the perfect law of liberty if you let me have free reign. But if you let sin have dominion over you again, and then claim that that is grace. It says that if sin no longer has dominion over us, we are not under the law, we're under grace. So if we're letting sin have dominion over us, where are we placing ourselves? That's not grace. We're placing ourselves in bondage again. And there's no life in that bondage. The only one we're to be bonded with is God, slaves of God. Not slaves of sin. For sin shall have no dominion, shall not have dominion over you, says in verse 14 of Romans 6. For you are not under law, but under grace. It's not that people telling you you shouldn't do something that you know is wrong is putting you back under the law. It's you giving in to sin that puts you back in that place where now sin has dominion over you and you've got no freedom. Grace gives you the power to not sin. It doesn't give you the power to sin. It's not a sanction for sin. If we got the depth of what happened on the cross, he really did die to sin once for all. He did it. He did it. He did it. I don't have to. So I give him any sin or temptation that I have. I don't pretend I don't have it. I don't call it something it's not and say, sin is really righteousness. I say, this is sin. You died to it. I am alive in you and dead to sin. Take it. I don't want it. And I'm not going to pretend it's goodness. Masquerading. Sin masquerading as goodness. This is what this false grace is saying to people. It's acceptable for you to sin because Jesus took all your lawless deeds. And the Father remembers them no more. So now you can sin? No. Now you're free from sin. That's what we get. That's his gift. And he gives you the promise of the Holy Spirit to indwell you so you can walk in that truth. Not by white-knuckling and holding onto the table and hoping, oh, please don't let me sin, don't let me eat that extra stuff, don't let me eat that. No! He died to sin once for all, so I'm dead to sin. I'm alive in Christ. I'm not alive to myself. I'm not alive to Satan or sin either. So, Lord, I'm struggling with this temptation. Is just pulling me in. And I know you died to it, so I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to say it's on the cross now. I don't want it anymore in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I know you are the one that will give me that freedom in real time. Deliver me from it in real time. I give it to you. All we do is yield. We yield our will. That's our 1%. And to say there is no 1%, it's all 100%, it's all done. It's all done. It's in that it is finished. The finished work of the cross finished it. We are not his slave. We're not slaves of Satan anymore. That's the finished work. That doesn't mean go and act like a slave again. Pretend you're his slave again and let sin have dominion over you. I mean, what are we all brain dead? We don't think. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. That's up to us. That's a choice we make. Okay, I want to be with all these other people, even though I'm married. I can do it because I've got grace. That's how far it's going now. That's what people are claiming. It doesn't matter what I do. Daddy's pleased with me. You know when he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased? Do you know what Jesus did before that? Remember, John did not want to baptize him, said, I'm not even worthy to untie your sandal strap. He said, I want you to do this. So things will be the way they're meant to be. So that I am following what my Father told me to do. And Jesus could have said, look, I'm the Son of God. I don't need to bow down to you, buddy, and put my head in the water. But he said, no. Because he was identifying with all of humanity. That was the first step of it, the baptism. And then he was filled with the Spirit, or the Spirit came upon him. And then he was led into the Spirit himself, led him into the desert. And who was the one helping him resist those temptations? The Spirit of the living God. He didn't fall for what Satan's gimmicks were. If we don't listen to the Spirit, Satan has free reign. I can trick them with anything. I can do mind games. I mean, he is a master of mind games. Come on. Look at the way the scriptures have been distorted over the centuries. He can come up with any device and make us believe anything if we're not listening to the Spirit of truth. So we better start communing with him for our own safety and sanity. And certainly for those, if we're in ministry in any capacity, for those that we lead. We have no right to live for ourselves anymore. Any believer. It says we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. It says that we are to live for him, not ourselves. That's now considered not just an imposition, but how dare you? Well, who else is there to live for? We know what living for yourself turns us into. Let's just go back to Adam and Eve. That's all we have to look at, let alone our own lives. So there's this core of this pretense of grace that isn't grace at all. Because it says we are no longer under the law, but under grace, when sin has no dominion over us. If sin has dominion over us, what happened to the grace that he gave us to not give in to sin? Now it's being called that when I give in to sin, that's grace. I've got grace. No, you don't. You don't have grace to sin. You have grace to resist it. It's like using, you know, something that's a food and saying, let's use it for a whole different reason. And that reason is going to cause people to be sick. We don't misuse grace. We don't call grace something that it's not. We don't label grace and connect grace with sin and say grace and sin are bedfellows. Grace removes sin. The grace of the cross removed sin from us as far as the east is from the west. It didn't say come here. Come on. Let's bed down together. Sin and grace. They're not marriage partners, and they're not lovers either. And those living in sin or continuing in it are not under grace because they are slaves of sin again, in bondage. There is no grace to sin. There's grace not to sin. That's what he gave us. Because he doesn't want us to fall into that nonsense again and hurt ourselves and hurt others. let alone, that's not even our identity anymore. Let's get real. If the Holy Spirit convicts us of righteousness, right? So it really feels uncomfortable when you've done something wrong. You feel sick inside. And you think about it a lot, and it upsets you, and people were calling that Satan. Satan's trying to condemn me. No. Holy Spirit's reminding you, that's not who you are. Stop it. You're the temple of me, the Holy Spirit. Doing that is not honoring the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. It's not a question of, it's almost as if people want to be saying, you know what it is? They'll have secret sin. And they haven't divulged it to others, or maybe maybe they've divulged it to some, but not the others that are going to give them the greatest judgment. So they're hiding it. Like we said, that carpet of, false grace. Let's just hide it under the carpet. It'll be okay. And while they're doing that, they constantly are searing their conscience more and more and more against the Holy Spirit and his wisdom and revelation. And it gets to be a bigger and bigger mountain under that carpet. One day they're going to fall over it. Not everyone is going to accept people overtly sinning, especially if you're in ministry. In fact, that's the worst part. If you're in ministry and you're doing that, you have not just let down the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but you've let down people that you're leading. And to say, I've not let down anybody, and I haven't offended anybody, and it's okay for me to do whatever it is that I do, and they're going to accept me because that's grace, almost demanding it. They have to accept me. Actually, they don't. Actually, it says that if you won't listen when you've been at fault and a brother comes to you and you won't listen to them, and then you bring two or three witnesses and you won't listen to them, and then you bring it before the whole church, it doesn't say that's okay, have grace and let this person continue in their sin. It says have nothing to do with them. And that's the part of the fear of the Lord people don't want to look at. And the reason he says have nothing to do with them, because without repentance, there's no freedom. Without repentance, there's no life. If we can't repent for what we did and admit that it was wrong, we're going to continue in it because our only other position is to justify ourselves. So repentance, rather than being a dirty word, is the grace of God. He gives us the grace to repent. He doesn't go, oh, you stupid child, you made a mistake again. Away with you. I hate you. He goes, here's my grace, repent, turn from that, because I don't want sin to have dominion over you. I gave you grace so it wouldn't have dominion over you. So you can see the subtlety of Satan, twisting this, pulling out scriptures like he always did. He did it with Jesus in the desert, didn't he? If you are the Son of God, you can jump from this precipice and not be hurt because the angels have charge of it. Test God. If you're the Son of God, turn this bread, these stones into bread. Prove yourself. Doing the same. He quoted scripture, though. Satan's great at quoting scripture. He knows scripture better than most of us. He's been around a lot longer. So having a scripture and slapping that on your sin and saying sin's okay is not thought being led by the Spirit. We need to have his wisdom. What does this scripture mean, Holy Ghost? What does it mean that I'm not to let sin reign in my mortal body, that I should obey its lust? I don't know how to do that because I have this sin. Say somebody has a sin and they have desire the opposite sex, even though they're married or engaged or whatever. They have a spirit of lust, say that, or they're very lustful. But if they come to the Father and they speak to the Holy Spirit and they know Jesus took that sin, I'm not in bondage to that sin, but I feel like I am. That's a lie. You're not in bondage to that sin because he took it. So that's where you go to. All right, Jesus, you took my sin. I don't have to obey the lusts of the flesh. I'm going to give you this sin or this desire before you've sinned. Yeah, it's better to do it before than after. So you give him the desire. Say, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to manage this. I don't know how to let go of it. I don't know how to not desire those people, whether it's male or female, depending on who you are. But I don't want to desire it anymore. So I give you my desire, and I ask you to remove this lust. Now, you know what's amazing about that? If you do that before the fact that you actually act on it, it doesn't have to be public. It's between you and God. Once you act on it, the public has a right to know. Because you've affected others, not just yourself. And we have to come clean with him, not because people are afraid that they're actually not holy. That's what this is about, too. I've seen it in different countries. They really feel they're still filthy. They really haven't gotten it. They're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And what can wash my sin away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. They don't get that. They've been washed clean. They still are fighting for the freedom to not be under the law. But they say they're in grace, but they've never really gotten grace. Because grace gives you the freedom to not have be under the dominion of sin. But they have never got it. They don't know who they are in him. They're still fighting their own flesh, trying to be something that they think they're not. I'll just pretend long enough. And then if they get caught, then it's suddenly, well, it wasn't sin because I've got grace. Grace is not a band-aid to cover up sin. Grace is the power of Jesus Christ on the cross that finished the dominion of sin over us, anyone who believes. He says, you are called the Son of God, right? You know, as it says in Scripture, who you obey, you're a slave of. So you can either obey God and the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, who is God, or you can obey the flesh or Satan or self, which is the flesh. It's a choice. But whoever we obey, we're going to obey somebody. People don't like the word obedience now. Well, who are you obeying? I love obedience because I know if I'm obedient to the Father, I'm free. I don't have to worry about a thing. Because I'm going his way, and I know his way is the best way, and I know his way will protect me, and I know his way is the perfect outcome. And I don't have to go through all these detours and hurt myself or others. Obedience is joy. Sweet. Just like repentance. Obedience and repentance are filled with his joy. You have nothing to hide then. As if you could hide from God anyway. So there is this, I can see it almost like a tear in the body. It's so sad. And it's going to cause a lot of division. Because if we want to, if people want to sanction sin, those of us that know that's wrong cannot fellowship with the ones that want to sanction it. So the division isn't because we're not loving and we're not kind Christians and we're not understanding Christians. It's because we have to stand. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am not going to run around and go back to the pig's will that I left years ago so that my brother thinks I'm nice or caring or loving or gracious. I'm going to follow God, no man. And that is hard, because when you care for people, and people maybe you've ministered to or ministered with or whatever, and you've mentored or you've assisted or helped in whatever capacity, whether it is that you were the one that led them to Christ or whether it is that you helped lead them on their destiny, it doesn't matter. If people are going to go in that direction, he says you can have nothing to do with them once they've been corrected and they refuse correction. Now, God's still with them. God still lives in them. So what we can do is pray that he will make it so well known to them. And they will have in that repentance, that godly sorrow that leads to repentance, as someone said, is not condemnation. That's being called condemnation. I don't have to repent. That's the new catch cry. I don't have to repent in this false grace. I repented when I came to Christ. Or I didn't even have to repent then. Is he just loves me, so it doesn't matter what I do. So if you've never given up and said, you know what, I am dead to sin. I'm reckoning myself, being assured I'm dead to sin. And that's how I want to live. I want to live to him. Dead to sin, live to him. That's my life now. If a person hasn't done that when they've come to Christ, they're going to be chasing their own tail all their lives, trying to pretend sin is not sin, masquerading sin as grace. And that was never what grace was about. Grace gave us liberty to not be in bondage to sin ever again. Ever. Now that's a choice. We still run around doing it at times. And we have to give it to Him. We ask Him to help us with it. We don't pretend it isn't there. We thank Him. Yes, I was forgiven for this, Lord. You know, thanking Him that we were forgiven from it doesn't mean that now we have permission to continue in it. You know, like a prisoner who's murdered someone and he's been given a pardon. Does that mean they send him out to go murder again? Oh, you can murder now because we said it was okay because we let you go. No. And you would think the gratitude. This is it. There's such a lack of gratitude to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit of what they've all done. The Father sent Jesus. Jesus gave Himself and died for us. And then the Holy Spirit was sent in His stead to live in us. There's no gratitude for that. It's just like, well, I deserve all this. We don't deserve any of it. Hallelujah, that's grace. We don't deserve any of it, but He gave it to us. And now we want to live as what? As filthy sinners again? Why? Why would we ever want to go back to that? Do you know why people want to go back to that? Because they don't know they're actually saved. They don't know they're actually free. They don't know that grace really has set them free from the dominion of sin. And bigger than that, they don't know they're deeply loved, with a greater love than anyone else can love them. When you know the love of God, sin loses its hold on you. There is no desire. None. Then you get the fullness of God. It says, to know the love of Christ. And that's that experiential knowing as one flesh, husband and wife. To know the love of Christ, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That's what we get. If we want to run back to sin again, we miss the fullness of God. There are two opposing choices. Do not let sin reign in your mortal flesh. What do you get instead if you don't let it reign in your mortal flesh? You get His life. You get His life. It says, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. This is never quoted in this false grace. But present yourselves to God as what? Being alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. What do we get if we don't choose that path again? We get life. The life of Christ in us, walking in it daily. We presented ourselves a living sacrifice. What, a living sacrifice that goes back on the altar of sin? Crawling back up there like within slime? And that's not even who we are? I think it's really it's not just an identity crisis. It's worse than that. It's a heart crisis. It's a crisis of the heart. For someone not to know that they are so deeply loved by Him, that if they come with their sin that they've committed after being a believer, knowing there's no penalty for it, but I'm still stuck in it, Lord. It's not that the penalty is gone and therefore I can do it. It's the penalty is gone and therefore I don't want to do it. So we come to Him with that sin. And we say, Lord, I know this is not who I am. This is not how You are leading me. But I don't know how to get out from under it. I'm so scared. I'm so sickened. I'm so worried. I'm so overwhelmed. Whatever it is that we have. What does it say? We boldly go into His throne room. We can boldly come into His throne room. With what? Everything. With the things that we do wrong. But if we're going to hide from Him and say, you know what, Daddy, I don't really need You right now because whatever I do is right in Your eyes. So, you know, I don't really even need to talk to You because, you know, You always think I'm great. So it doesn't matter what I do. There's going to be no communion. You don't even need to go to Him because you've got it all signed, sealed, and delivered. I'm safe. I'm good. Everything's cool. Everything's God. It's all good. It's all good. Sin is good. Evil's good. Black is white. White is black. Who cares? That's what happens. It becomes a, it's even beyond that lukewarm. You know, the lukewarm that He says He'll spit us out of His mouth if we're lukewarm. We'll either be hot or cold. But it is more in that ilk. It's this indifference to Him. It doesn't matter what I do because I am under grace. That's not what the Bible says. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Oh, that's a bit different. It's the dominion of sin is gone because I'm under grace. But if I give in to that dominion of sin, grace doesn't cover it. Grace doesn't say, it's okay to sin. Yeah, yeah, let's all sin together. It says, confess your sin to one another. So if you have a help, and some, you know, there are things that are hard for us to overcome when we try to do it by ourselves, you know, the old do-it-yourself Christianity. We can't overcome any of it. So we not only need each other, but we if we yield it to the Spirit in the first place, we wouldn't usually have this problem. Well, we wouldn't have the problem at all. Because we wouldn't have let sin reign in our mortal bodies. We would have had given Holy Spirit free reign. And that's the difference. You know, I feel so sad for some of the body. Because I'm telling you, when they get home, everything's going to be burnt up. And they're even going to go through as a fire. And all that's going to be left is them, the salvation they had. And they're going to have thought all these self-righteous things that they were doing were of God. Now, it's a heavy deception. It really needs to be prayed about. It is a fog on the body. Not all of the body. You know, there's a lot of people still caught in the law. There's a lot of people that think the Holy Spirit isn't even alive. You know, there's all different aspects and compartments, so to speak, or levels of the body in terms of understanding and revelation. But this one has to be addressed, because what's happening is when people are coming out from under the law, the lie of the law, that you're still under it, which you can't be because the law is finished and we were delivered from it, they're now going into a false grace that says anything goes. Might as well be in the 1920s when, you know, they were all having cocaine at parties. Everything was legal. Drinking was legal. Which it still is. Cocaine, you know, all kinds of drugs. They had put cocaine in the Coca-Cola. That's why it was called Coca-Cola. It was all okay. Free for all. It didn't last long. What happened later? You know, they had the huge crash. 1929. So, you know, party on, if that's what people think they're going to do. The sad part is they're dragging other people in it. And that won't be tolerated by God. You know, it always comes out. And grace is not a sanction for sin. It never was, and it never will be. No matter how people twist the scripture, the word of God is the word of God. The truth is the truth. If we want to manipulate it with mental gymnastics, we're the ones who are losing out, and anyone else that we have any affiliation with. I mean, any scripture can be twisted and perverted to suit a doctrine. You know, you can do try to push the square peg in the round hole, or vice versa, to suit ourselves. But if we do that, we miss the fullness of God. I mean, He gave us the whole counsel of God for a reason. And when it says in James, which people don't like to read, and we sometimes want to attribute it to, oh, maybe he's talking to unbelievers. But he's talking to believers about how to live as a Christian. And often this book is not liked by many. Because it talks about being double-minded. It talks about loving the world more than God. And he says, adulterers and adulteresses, pretty hard word. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? So if we're lusting for the world, we're at enmity with God. We're against our Father. That doesn't mean we're not His, but we are acting against Him. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Again, really harsh. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, who dwells in us, yearns jealously. The Holy Spirit, that's what it means to grieve Him. Well, we can grieve Him by hurting each other, and we can grieve Him by denying Him, denying the truth, running amok, saying sin is good. And it's not even saying sin is good. It's when it gets to the point, the conscience gets so seared that people will be in sin, deny the sin, justify the sin, and then it goes to the worst thing, say it was never sin. That's how far we can go. And that is not God's will. And that is not His desire. So He goes on to say, after he says, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy, but he gives more grace. We don't just stop there. He gives more grace. Okay, I can keep sinning. No, it says, therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Sounds conditional, doesn't it? We don't like that. No, no, I had grace on the cross, grace on the cross, grace on the cross, grace on the cross. I can do what I want, I can do what I want, I can do what I want. But God says he resists the proud. And he gives grace to the humble. Because you know why? You cannot receive grace if you've got an unrepentant heart. And you're standing there defiantly saying sin isn't sin. It wasn't sin. It was righteous in God's eyes. Calling evil holy. And then saying, oh, you're mixing law with grace. There is no law. I can't mix law with grace. What law? Law is gone. I'm delivered from the law. This has nothing to do with law. This is how to walk as a Christian. In a living faith with the living God who lives in me. Nothing to do with law. Law isn't even there anymore. It doesn't exist. It was finished. But do I yield to sin and say I can yield to sin because I'm not under law? Under grace? That doesn't even make sense. It was the law that put you in bondage. Because you could never fulfill it. But he did. Now I get to walk in freedom. Following his steps. His ordered steps that he prepared for me before the foundation of the world. Man, whose other steps do you want to walk in? What could be better? He who made you in your mother's womb knitted you together, bit by bit, knowing exactly what he made you for. And then ordering your steps and preparing, before you were ever born, how you would go. Your very destiny, your very purpose, knitted together in the womb with you. Those are the steps that he's prepared for you. And you want to go somewhere else? In the pig's will? Enmity with God. We make ourselves an enemy. Lord, don't like that way. Yes, it looks glorious and beautiful and all that, but you know what? It's just not as fun as fornicating. That's what people are doing. That's what they're saying. It's acceptable because I'm under grace, so it doesn't matter what I do. That's not grace. Grace is, sin no longer has dominion over me, so what I do is what he wants me to do. Because yielding to him is freedom. Because whoever we are obey, we are slaves to. And then in verse 8 in James 4. Or 7, let's go to 7. So how do we resist the devil? Do people think by, you know, yelling at him and saying this, that, and the other? By humbling ourselves to God. That's what allows us to resist the devil. It says submit to God. That means humble yourself to his will. Resisting the devil is easy then. He's got no dominion over you then. Because I've submitted to the greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. So therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now this is where people will get offended. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. I mean, that's pretty harsh words. And people will say, oh, well, he's not talking about me because he calls them sinners, because they're acting like sinners. He was correcting them. He's calling them adulterers and adulteresses. It's the body of Christ he's talking to. I mean, you must have had some wild sin going on there for him to speak like that. He wasn't talking to the unbeliever. But we, you know, in this false grace, that's what people will say. Well, I'm not a sinner. Well, don't act like one. Of course you're not a sinner. Don't be ridiculous. But if you're acting like one, who are you aligning yourself with? You're saying, oh, well, I'm under grace. But it says, if sin has no dominion over you, you are no longer under the law, but under grace. But if sin has dominion over you, what are you doing? What are you under? You have no freedom. Then you are a slave to sin again. And he died for that. Why are you doing it? It's a choice that we make. If he says, don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies, it's a choice. We can let sin reign in our mortal bodies. Or we can let the Spirit reign in our mortal bodies. Because isn't he the Spirit, the resurrection Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, will quicken your mortal body? On all levels. For righteousness' sake, for purity, for love, for holiness. We don't do this on our own. It is not a willpower. It is not a do-it-yourself Christianity. It is not trying to be good or proving that you are so good that you can sin. How does that honor God, let alone yourself and your family or those people that you may serve? Is that what you're going to preach from the pulpit? I can sin no matter what because I've got grace. Are you going to tell them to go and do it too? Is that going to be the next thing? Well, sinning's fine. Go have as many wives as you want. I don't care. Because, I mean, if you're doing one, if there's a standard for us, say we're in ministry, and that's what we're doing, well, better give that standard to your congregation. Can't have a double standard. You know, he says, cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Because they were being friends to the world. And the world wasn't being friends to the world where you go out and you want people saved. You care about them, you love them, you serve them. No, love your neighbor as yourself. No. It was saying, I like doing this. I like getting drunk. I like having sex with strangers. I like, you know, cheating. I like taking money from people. I like stealing. That's being a friend to the world. That's what the world does. We're not of the world. We're in it. For his sake. For his sake, we're in it. And he says that if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, he shall lift us up. How easy then? Do you know what it is? It's always the same thing that it's always been with mankind, pride. No, that wasn't sin. What did Adam say? It wasn't my fault, it was the woman you gave me. When he finally admitted there was a problem, he had to blame somebody. But some Christians now with this false grace won't even admit there's an issue. They say there is no issue because there's no law. Law doesn't mean there aren't bad things that you can do. Law means you're no longer in bondage to it because he took it and there is no penalty for it. No penalty does not mean that we continue in sin. Doesn't it say that? Where sin abounded, grace abounded the more? Shall we continue in sin? Certainly not. For he who has died to sin, how can he longer live in it? That's never completed. You know, there's these portional scriptures where people will say, oh, he said to the adulteress, neither do I condemn you, but dot, dot, dot. The rest of it isn't even included. Go and sin no more. That's essential. That's essential for it. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That is absolutely true. We cannot take that away. We wouldn't want to take it away. This is not about condemnation. This is about living right as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, in righteously choosing life, not death. Choosing holiness, not because we have to prove we're holy. I got to do all the good things. I got to be a good Christian. Nothing to do with that. We're not good Christians. We're his. We're his people. He's written his laws on our hearts now. We know the truth, and that truth has set us free. If we want to go back under bondage and call that freedom and call that grace, we are living in delusion. And it will come apart upon us. It will fall on our heads. It will collapse because there is no truth in it. It will not stand. What does it say? If the house is not established by the Lord, the workers labor in vain. You can work as hard as you can to try to prove that it's okay to sin and call it grace, but the Lord's not in it. He's not established in that. You know, he's shown me what real love does. And real love is. And when you really love someone and you correct them, or at least you attempt to correct them because you love them, you don't want them going the wrong way. It is devastating to your heart when they reject that correction and they continue to follow sin and become a slave of sin again, saying that they can't be slaves of sin because I'm one with God. I'm, you know, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, anything I do is not sin. That's not what it means. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we have a choice to sin or not. He left our wills intact. Otherwise, we wouldn't be cautioned to not sin. We wouldn't be cautioned to reckon ourselves dead to sin. We wouldn't be cautioned to not let sin reign in our mortal bodies if we didn't have to do anything, if there was nothing involved in us. But when that person rejects it, and the level of devastation you'll feel in your own heart, especially if you put a lot of time and concern and energy or whatever you want to call it, not that it's about us, but you've put your heart into that person and they've rejected it. Imagine the Father, what he feels like compared to that. I can't even imagine, because I know how devastating it is to me. Sin will never be sanctioned by God. Sin isn't from God. And grace wasn't given as permission to sin, but was given for liberation from sin. And people can twist the scripture in any which way they desire to prove themselves. But the truth is, they'll come undone in the end. And what a sad, unnecessary path they are taking, when his path was a path of glory and truth and righteousness. And what does he say? You know, in Romans 7:6, but now we have been delivered from the law. Let's not stop there. It gets better. Having died to what we were held by. So that's the truth of who we are, and that's our stand. That's our position. So that we should serve in the newness of what? Sin? No, in the newness of the Spirit. And not in the oldness of the letter. We don't do what's right because we're under condemnation and we might get in trouble. We do what's right because we are one with the Spirit of the living God. That's the newness of the Spirit. That's what we serve through. That's whom we serve through. That's freedom. I don't have to deny sinning or choosing my own way because I'm going to be in trouble. That was the law. I choose him, and I choose his way, and I choose to walk in the newness of the Spirit because I have been redeemed, and I am loved completely for eternity. Just stop there, girls. I want to see what else you said. Yeah, there's no sin in heaven, that's right. I haven't looked at this page. I don't know how much I've done enough or not. I'll have to ask him.
I think
him.
You have.
Oh, Aiden would think so. You've got Lizzie and Lisa there, so you can talk freely, darling.
Freely!
Freely, freely. It's one of those songs.
I can't hear anybody.
Yeah, I know, because they've got their mics off, honey, because it was causing problems. Here, you talk to them for a minute. I gotta have a potty break, girls.
Well, they can't talk to me because they can't.
Oh, no!